Oh, okay. Okay, I gotta hit the right button here. Okay, well, greetings. And I'm glad to have Ernestine back in the saddle. That's a blessing. You know what was interesting is last week, in preparing for the message to give last week, I was telling Kathy I had so much, I mean, something just didn't seem right. And I didn't know what it was. I said, you know what? It's like I am struggling to, I know I had the word, but I was struggling to in my preparation. And anyway, and then found out, then I got a text from you, Ernestine. So that's probably what it was. But I've got more of it now. I don't know how far I'll get. We'll see. And I'm using a different, device, different computer today. So it's kind of, I'm trying to figure it all out. Listen, I was before the Lord, and I'd been asking the Lord, and basically, sometimes you know something from the Lord, but then and He gives you information, what His plan is. That's what He does with me, and then sometimes I forget, So I'll ask Him, and He'll remind me, and that's what happened. And I'd been asking the Lord, I said, Lord, it's stirring in me about why have you had me giving these particular kinds of messages? I gave a message about denying oneself, taking up our cross and following Him. It's something that Christians don't get taught on and discipled in. And I was blessed. And also a very important message about knowing the witness of the Spirit and not going by what we know. That's eating from the tree of knowledge, and not going by what makes sense. Because I don't know about you, but there's been many times when the Lord tell me to do something that didn't make any sense at all. And but He knew something I didn't know, But then the message is about what does it mean to follow? And when He says, follow me, His first command, the second one was abide in me, and another one we haven't talked about really is love one another. And so, and then, I talked to you about, I mean, it's basically about identity, about, but it's all connected to intimacy. And it's talked about the quieting of the soul and continuing to learn and grow in that. Quieting the soul, bringing your soul into submission to your spirit man. And because it's all about Jesus. It's all about just being with Him. It's all about Jesus. It's not about Him. When you begin to, some of you have, it's like my sister has this tremendous relationship with Father, and she could relate to that because my dad was really good to her and loved her, and she knew it. Now, I didn't have that same experience with him, but my little sister did. But so she, but I began to tell Linda, my sister, you know what? The Father wants you to, hey, Father's pointing to the Son. The Holy Spirit is pointing to the Son. We tend to talk about the Holy Spirit a lot, and we need to know, understand the communion of the Holy Spirit. I haven't gotten in a lot into that yet, but both are pointing to the Son. It's all about Jesus. So I was a couple of days ago, I was going over this, and the Lord said, I'm having you do this because I want my people prepared for what I'm about to do. I want them to not say, I wasn't told. This was, you sprang this on me. I wasn't told, and I didn't get the choice. Remember, we talked about how a tree doesn't have a choice, but we have a choice. A tree doesn't have a choice of how tall it will grow or how its fruitfulness. It is built into it, the DNA, but we have the choice. And so I was just meditating on that, and the Lord spoke a scripture to me. I had to go look it up. And the Lord said to me, he says, would I do anything without telling my prophets? And so that's in Amos 3:7. I don't know how long it's been since you read the book of Amos, but that's not something I turn to first thing in the morning. And, but you know, I went to Amos, and that scripture says, for the Lord does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. And the Lord spoke to me, and he says, I'm sending you, you're my prophet. And when you speak, it's always something that's fresh I've given to you. You're not a teacher. I mean, some people think I can teach. I don't. But anyway, but, you know, I'm bringing the word of the Lord for the time. And the Lord said, there are others. And then it was so funny. Kathy was, she finds these amazing messages online. There's this one brother, his last name is Hetland, H-E-T-L-A-N-D. I think his first name is Leif, but he's from like Norway or somewhere. Powerful. He's a apostolic guy. He's an apostle. He's like a father to many pastors and many people. And he's doing the same thing. And so Kathy was listening to him a day or so ago, and I was listening in. And he says, the reason I keep talking about intimacy and the Father's love, that it's all about love, is because to prepare you so that you can't say I wasn't being prepared. And the sad part is most people are content. Most Christians are content where they are, and they don't see, there's no sense of urgency. They're content with the revelation that they have, and they will stay in the level where they are. They're plateaued in their growth. And I love this, you know, one word from God, get anybody healed, anybody restored. You know, Dan experienced that. I've experienced that. Many of you have. But the Lord has been showing me that that's a first step. Don't stay there. That's like, because I don't have you where I want you, I'll do that. But I want you to come in deeper and know. So because of that, you know, the Lord's having me prepare, trying to get you prepared, because he's told me many, many Christians are not going to catch on to what the Lord's going to do. And there are going to be multiple millions, maybe a billion people being swept in this next this very last outpouring. The Lord spoke to the last outpouring. It's the last outpouring. So I'm preparing you for what is to come, the last outpouring. And I'm not the only one that's speaking that. This Leif Hetland is doing that. I've heard a couple other folks doing that. Some are ministering and they're so caught up in what the Lord's showing them, they don't really realize that they're preparing people. You know, I'm thinking about this one lady from that she's in South Africa, Heidi Baker. She's like that, you know. And the presence is just all over her all the time. I mean, she'll come into a room and the place changes. You know why? Because it leaks. It leaks. And so I want to talk to you a little bit. I want to read something to you. This is something the Lord's had our pastor in 1973 teach us, that the Holy Spirit was a big yes all over it. And it's been with me, remained with me. And I still meditate and learn from it all these years later. And going back to God's desire towards his people that came out of Egypt. And I'm going to Exodus 19. And I'm going to read a little bit and skip around a little bit and just go through it. And I have until 11:30. Is that right? Is that right, Ernestine? No. Okay. So Exodus 19, verses 2 through 11 says, and they set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. And there Israel encamped before the mountain, while Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him out of the mountain. Okay, so let me just say, you understand, when the Bible says Israel, when he calls, he says Israel, that's a spiritual people. We're the Israel of God now, see. And you understand, Israel has been growing for over 400 years. You know, the tribes, the 12 tribes have been growing. There was quite a few of them when they went into Egypt. And there's somewhere around 3 million people. So if you can imagine, 3 million people are more than the sum of the 10 largest cities in North Carolina. So you think about Charlotte, Raleigh, Durham, Winston-Salem, Greensboro, Wilmington, Concord has over 100,000 people. I mean, you add all that up, I check. So you imagine a mass of people moving with all the flocks. There's multiple millions of animals, all the flocks of stuff, goats and sheep and the cats and the dogs and everything else, plus the fact that they had all of this bounty that the Egyptians had given them, gold and silver and precious stones that would be used in building the temple. So here they come. I mean, I want to paint this picture. Here they come, and there's this massive amount of people. I mean, it's like, it's hard to imagine, but try to imagine 3 million people and all of these massive flocks coming across. I've been in Africa where the herds on the Serengeti Plain, when they would cut through, the herds would go through, and it would just cut a swath through that's like a mile wide. And it gave me a picture. Well, these are 3 million people and all their flocks and all their stuff, and here they go, and they're coming to the mount, at the base of the mountain, the Mount Sinai, and this is a desert area, but it's Mount Sinai. It's a rocky place. I've seen pictures of it, or what they think was Mount Sinai. So then Moses came up to the mountain, and the Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did. You saw what I did to the Egyptians. And that was pretty devastating if you go back and read that. And then imagine that. I like to picture it. It's amazing what he did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now that sounds like a father. See, he never revealed himself like that to the people of Israel. He's trying to bring them into a relationship with him that's different from anything that they've ever considered. There were so many things that they didn't have a reference point for. And so he's saying, you see what I did? You saw what I did to the Egyptians and how I brought you, I bore you to myself on eagle's wings. I brought you to myself. And I did that for you. I set you free from slavery. Okay. So he says, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my commandment, he says, obey my voice. He didn't say obey my laws. He was starting out, obey my voice. Obey my voice. He wanted to talk with them. He wanted to have intimacy with them. An old covenant people. That they still didn't have a whole lot of covenant. They had Abraham. They had the covenant of Abraham. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my commandment, you shall be my treasured possession. That's Papa. Among all peoples from all the earth. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. See, he's trying to change their identity. He's speaking their destiny. See, but you'll see that they reject it. They reject it. They have a choice. So, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. So in verse 7, it says, so Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. Now think about it. So you got 3 million people and he's calling the elders. I mean, if you had one person that represented 1,000, that's like 3,000 men have come to meet with. You think about it. So there's 3,000 maybe, or maybe less, I don't know. So they came to meet with him. And so he met with the elders and all the people. And when he told them everything that the Lord said, all the people answered together. They're all in one accord. It's like in the book of Acts, you know, in the upper room, they're all in one accord and in one place, in one mind, in one heart. And they said, and says, all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I'm coming to you in a thick cloud that the people may hear when I speak to you and may also believe you forever. So he's going to establish, he's going to edify Moses before the people. He's going to establish him without a doubt. This is the leader. But he wanted them to hear his voice out loud. So when Moses told the words of the people to the Lord said to Moses, go up to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. So, I mean, they're getting ready for a meeting. I mean, they're purifying themselves. They're putting on some new clothes. They're getting ready to have some real church, a convocation of a holy convocation. So in verse 16, it says, on the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Now imagine that. See, you got to understand. We think we can understand that, but they never had what we've got all this PA systems and. If maybe you've been to a movie house that has like there's one in Raleigh. You go and watch a movie and it's like all the surround sound, even the chairs shake. I mean, it's like you're in it. Well, they never had none of that. You know, so here they are. They come to the mountain and the Lord and all this thundering and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, a very loud trumpet blast. Okay, so then all the people in the camp, they begin to tremble. Okay, and then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. I can imagine there'd be some hesitancy there, but they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now, Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. So, I mean, just try to picture that. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. I mean, it's like an earthquake. Everything's trembling. So there's this lightning and thundering, and now the trembling, the smoke and the fire, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. And then Moses spoke and answered him in the thunder, and the Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. So all this is going on, and Moses is, there he goes. He goes up through that thick cloud. Well, what are we supposed to, you know, I mean, I'm just putting myself in their place. Okay. So they're all sitting there, they're scared to death. I mean, you know, ain't no telling what's going on really, because I ain't going to talk about what, you know, what happens when people get real scared. Things can happen. So anyway, so in Exodus 20, verses 1 and 2, said, God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Now he's saying this to Moses, but he's saying it so all those people can hear it. They can hear it. That's verses 1 and 2. Now verse 18 and 19. This is the kicker right here. This is the one I wanted to get to. Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood afar off. That means they begin to back up. So there's this mass of people, and they're backing up. And Moses, and they stood afar off, and they said to Moses, "You speak with us, and we will listen. But do not let God speak to us, lest we die." They rejected Papa. They rejected opportunity for close encounter of the best kind. You know, to know him as their papa, to be his treasured possession, to be a kingdom, a priest, and a holy nation. So they rejected that. And what happened is they wanted his words, but they didn't want him. You understand what I'm saying? They said, "Lest we die," and they were right. They spurned the Lord's offer from intimacy, and they were right when they said, "Sure, we will surely die." Because listen, when there's intimacy with the Lord, something dies. I mean, all pride, all that. My first encounters with that kind of intimacy, I'm on my face. I can't breathe. I cannot move. I'm in awe. I'm not terrified, but everything is open and bare. And I got nothing to stand on. I mean, I got no excuses. He's incredible. And everything else in my life doesn't even have any relevance or matter anymore. All the things I thought were important, they're not important. And so they were right. See, something dies itself. Yourself, with all the things you think are great and are important, they don't matter in his presence. I'm telling you, and he wants intimacy with us so he can put things in order, put things into proper order. And if they were to continue to hear his voice, something would surely die. And the Lord was saying to me, when he spoke this to me to read this, he said, "This is what Christians are doing right now. They want his word, but they don't want intimacy, because intimacy is costly." I'm going to talk about that. Intimacy is costly. And it's our natural default. It's not something you even have to plan. It just comes natural if you don't choose something else. They wanted the word without intimacy that he desired. Because, see, and the word will work. The word is powerful. It's alive. It's pregnant with power and revelation and creativity. And it'll work. It'll work in any believing heart, even when there's just barely enough revelation that he loves you. Just the slightest amount of revelation will allow faith to work in the word and bring forth signs and wonders and miracles. See? And people settle for that. And that's not going to be enough. I'm telling you, that's not enough. It's not enough now, not going to be enough. And so, the word is pregnant with Zoe life, okay, and power. And it's released by faith. And that faith only works because even the slightest amount of love, like I just said. But what is the faith based on? It's based on that love, that revelation of his love. Faith works by love. Galatians 5:5-6, "For through the Spirit by faith we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. So let me give you this example. If you have a love relationship, such as a child with a parent, a little child with a parent, and you're the child, and you know your mom and dad, you know, they have never lied. I mean, in your heart and mind, matter of fact, they're incapable of lying. They're the smartest people on the planet, and they have the highest. This is about their integrity and their character. It's impossible for them to lie. You don't even consider the fact that they could. You don't question. I mean, if they tell you something, it's the truth. You know it. You're convinced. You're settled. You're fully assured, right? Okay, so you know it's impossible for them to lie, incapable for them to lie. And when they tell you something or promise something, you know it's done. It's over. It's period. There's no consideration about anything else. And so you know there's no limits or restrictions, you know, in their love for you. So you have a revelation of their character, their integrity now, and then you know their love. You have a revelation. There's two revelations going on. Their love for you. In fact, you know they would go without so that you could have, and they wouldn't complain about it. They would do it gladly. They would lay down themselves for you, and you would never even know it. You might not ever know what they're doing without. You know, I mean, if they're a good parent, I have seen parents tell their children what they're doing without. But that's not a good parent, okay? So they'll do without for you. And that's love you can trust, all right? And have faith in. You trust every word they say. You not only have their word, but you have them. You have them. You have their word. That's true. You have their love. That's unquestioned. But you have them. You have them. You got mom and dad. It's all based on a love relationship. How deep, intense, and mature is that revelation of their love for you? The more your revelation of their love grows, of this revelation grows, the more secure and more mature is your faith. You understand? So this is a picture of us and the Lord. We know his character. It's impossible for him to lie. There's scriptures that tell you all about that. And his love is without limits, without bounds. You know, you can't lose it. You didn't start it, so you can't lose it. You know what I'm saying? So that's a picture for us. So where does that lead us to? Well, we want to mature in our revelation of love. See, it's all about that. It's all about that. So, you know, as I was doing this, the thing that stood out to me was, you know, I love to hear Ernestine bring a message about God's love. She's done it, I'm thinking, maybe 3-4 times. And every time, I'm just getting a lot more. I mean, I'm growing myself every time she brings it. And the reason she can do that is because she's established in his love. Listen, Ernestine could not be pastoring this church. Forgive me, Ernestine. At Ernestine's age and by herself, you know, being pastor of this church. Now she's doing it. She's done it by herself because that's what the Lord's led her to do. And she's not going to be picking leaders and elders and stuff until the Holy Spirit shows her what to do. But the reason that her ability to continue and do all these Bible studies and all these things is because she's rooted and grounded in his love. Now she see, and the next thing is that she has to continue in this love. She has to continue to grow in it. See, the rooted and grounded in his love is a beginning and will carry you, but you have to continue in it. You have to continue in his love. So being rooted and grounded in his love in Ephesians 3, 14 through 19 says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. It's Paul praying, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, not just a Christian family, every family, that according to the riches of his glory, that's a lot, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. His Spirit in your inner being. His Spirit that's in your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in, this is all about love, all about growing and maturity in love. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints, they have the ability, the grace to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He's love. That you may be filled with that. See, and that comes not through going to Bible college. It doesn't come from being in worship service. It doesn't come from, it comes from the secret place. It comes from an intimacy. It comes from being able to quiet your soul. See, I'm hearing the Lord speaking to me right now some things. And I love that voice. But there's a still small voice, even more intimate. Okay? Much more intimate. So then you root, it's rooted and grounded. And now let's continue in this love. Jude 21. There's only one chapter. So Jude 21 says, continuing in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. John 15, 10, that great passage through there is about abiding in him, abiding in his word, abiding in his love. John 15, 10 says, Jesus said, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep, that Greek word is torero. That means to guard, to continue, to abide in. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Let me back up. And Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, if you keep my precepts, you will abide in my love. One of his commandments so far have been, take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself, follow me. Right? Now, abide in me. Be sourced in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Be sourced in me. So we're talking about a much more intimate relationship than just fire insurance. Okay. He said, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. So, you know, we love to worship together, and it's, as we should. And we talk about his presence. You know, we talk about the presence of Jesus. Some of us talk about the presence of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Father, the presence of Jesus, the glory of his presence. But the essence of his presence is not his presence. It's himself. It's him. It's him. It's Jesus. It's his love in his presence. And here's the key. To understand his love, you must experience. You got to have some experiential knowledge of it. I like what Arthur Menchez used to say. You've got to encounter him and experience him. And you've got to get still on the inside. See, most of us receive, it has everything, the love of God, the revelations of his love, any kind of revelation. It has to seep through our mind, will, and emotions, our soul, to get to us. But see, the Lord wants to reverse that. Surrender your soul to your spirit so it comes right directly down, and then your soul is impacted, and it goes out of you. It goes from you. I don't have a lot of time left, and I got a lot more. But anyway, But we got to have some encounters with him. We've got to experience his love regularly, consistently, and we must encounter him.
Robert, repeat that last thing you said about when you get an example. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but repeat that, please.
Sure, no problem. Thank you.
So
what we receive normally, this is what we do, whether you believe it or not, because we, most of the time, we operate out of our soul. And the reason why we think we don't is because, see, what's happening is coming from the Lord has to seep through our mind, will, and our emotions to get deep into us. But the Lord wants to reverse that and have the soul into submission of the Spirit. And it comes, you see, and then it leaks out of you. And that's what happens. The more you spend time with him, you know, the more you, I mean, when I say, I'm talking about intimacy, the things I've talked about, like quieting the soul, taking the time to do it. And like I told you, I'm a type A personality. It took me every day, I'd spend 2 or 3 hours just getting still, no music. I mean, I'm just before the Lord, I'm commanding my soul to be still, and I'm listening for your voice, Lord. I want to hear you. Like Pastor John taught me, like he's experiencing. And, you know, John could come into a room, he never spoke in tongues. He could come into a room and know everything that's going on in a room. And you'd have to tell him, you know. And so, but he operated is always in the presence. He was so aware of the presence all the time, because he spent so much time in his presence. Everywhere he went, he took it with him. And so I want you to, you know, so we want to mature and grow in our revelation of his love, the love of the Father and love of Jesus. So the signs and wonders and the miracles and the healings that I've been a part of, that the Lord's used me in, you know, they're awesome. They're great, okay? I mean, you know, they're wonderful. I mean, I love it. I love signs and wonders, especially, you know, like when you see something that shouldn't be happening, you know, it's like a tornado came towards my house and I got mad. I wasn't mad because it was coming to my house. I was mad because I just set out some tomato plants and I was looking for some tomato sandwiches. I know it sounds silly, but that don't make any difference. I was mad and I ran at it and I was pointing at it and I was shouting, "You turn right now." And I did that. I like did that and it turned. And I said, "You go around this neighborhood and go out through the woods." And that's what it did. And I mean, I've seen all kinds of stuff, turned storms. I had my men out working and a big storm come and they said, "We got to get out. It's going to come." I said, "No, you're not going to get wet. It would go around us." I just speak to it. And all that's great. But you know, like, you got to understand, you know what Jesus said, you know, in John 14, 10, he said, "I only do, only say what I hear my Father saying. And I only do what I see my Father doing. It's the Father in me doing the works." See, so everything that Robert ever did, Robert never did. It was in the Father in me doing the works. You understand? And all that's wonderful, but I'm going to tell you something. I mean, I got to where casting out demons was like, we did a lot of that in the beginning. Can you cast out a demon with a whisper if you know who you are? So you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But see, at the end of the day, when I'm alone, I could spend all my time reveling in all the things I'd seen and give thanks to the Lord and, you know, and maybe even think how wonderful I am. But the thing is, I didn't. I just wanted to get still because it was too surreal. There would be this something missing, Lord. I mean, what is this? Something in me is saying that's something that I was a part of, but that's not enough. I mean, it's wonderful. But see, to be a vessel that he could flow through, that's wonderful. But when it was all said and done, I found myself still having this holy dissatisfaction. There was something else. And it was this intimacy that I needed. And all these supernatural experiences I had, they were great, but I wanted more. You know, and I tell some of my buddies there, and they'd say, what's wrong with you? I mean, you could go testify about this. You know, you could have a ministry doing that. And a lot of people do, you know. But, and they're satisfied with that. That fills their life. And other people, yeah, great, great for you. You know, blah, like you could have a TV. Oh, yeah, that's wonderful. You know, this mighty man of God. No, any mighty man of God is mighty God in man. You know, and so, but I needed to be, I found out. And when I went to my pastor and I started talking to him about this, he said, Robert, he's drawing you to himself. He wants to be with you. He wants you to know him. And when he said that, it was like, when I just said it just then, oh man, the presence. I mean, it's just, he just bears witness to that. And it's just exactly what I needed. It's not, those things are not supposed to feel and satisfy you. It's just something you do. And this is, you know, it's an expression of his power and his grace and all that, but it's stuff we do. It's not meant to satisfy you. I remember, if you remember who Pastor Bob Nichols is, if you went to Charis Bible College, he was one of the guest speakers, and he's like in his 80s, and he was one of the pioneers in the charismatic movement back in the 60s. And he you know, he's turned over his church now, but he came to speak one at the men's advance one time. I think it was 2014. And this is what he said. He said that in his latter years now, he is rediscovering the secret place. And when I heard him say that, man, my spirit leapt. But you know what I said earlier about intimacy is costly? I mean, just reference the children at the you know, Mount Sinai. But intimacy requires a vulnerability. I mean, between a husband and a wife, it requires vulnerability. But you have to make yourself vulnerable to him, you know, and it requires room. It requires time and making room. There's a song, Joy to the World. We sing it. There's a line there says, let every heart prepare him room. We sing it, but we don't pay attention to it. Let every heart prepare him room. And it requires a dying to yourself. I'm on my last page, Ernestine. Hang in. I know I ain't got, but you know, this time is something that's going to be done away with. I'm looking forward to it. People want to worship so they can have an experience and the feelings of his presence and power. And I, man, I love it. But it's, and it's necessary, but it cannot transform you. It can't really change you. But if you get still in the quiet place, in that secret place, that he treasures, that he guards, that he invites us into, and you can only get there by getting still and emptying yourself and yielding yourself, becoming vulnerable and listening for his voice. When you hear the still small voice, you get transformed. You're changed. You're absolutely changed. And so, when you're there, you know, you're bringing every thought into captivity, not bad thoughts, every thought, every good thought, bringing into captivity. 2 Corinthians 10:5. So I just want to give you a real quick little story to illustrate the type of things, the fruit that can bear. We started a church in Chapel Hill in 1986. And about 1980, and I was a worship leader. I got, you know, somehow I became the worship leader by the Spirit, and I didn't know what I was doing. All I knew is I loved to worship. You know, same thing I say now. Look, I'm a lead worshiper. Listen, I'm the lead worshiper. I don't care about being the worship leader. I'm going to go worship. Y'all welcome to come, but I ain't going to check and see if you are. That's up to you. So, I developed this little team. Our church had grown to 100, 150 people, and I had this 3 or 4 people that were on my team. And I taught them the things that I'm talking to you about. Back in 1987, I began to teach them what I was doing. And I said, this is the only thing I require of you. I don't care if you don't learn the chords. I don't care if you don't learn the words. I don't care about that. I want you to go be with him and then bring you and him. And some of our practices were we couldn't practice. The presence was so strong. We'd be all be on the floor crying and just in his love. But when we came together on Sunday, listen, when we came together, the first note on any instrument, we took possession of the air. You know, there's a scripture in Ephesians 2:2 says that Satan is the prince in the power of the air. Well, guess what? We've been spending so much intimacy time in the presence of Jesus that anything that we did, sing or a sound on an instrument, it took possession of the air. Okay. And when that happened, the worship team is the spirit, is the tip of the spear. When that happened, it opened it up the room for others to encounter him. You understand? I mean, all kinds of things began to happen, different types of manifestations. People would just weep and cry, and all of a sudden they'd be free of depression or free of, anxiety or addictions. I mean, people were healed. You know, I remember one time this lady that owned 2-3 restaurants in Chapel Hill, her name was Bibi Danzinger, and she owned lots of places that were famous there. And she opened up a restaurant for us to have church on Sunday. So we're there. And she had brain cancer. She was dying of brain cancer. And so during communion, before she ever took communion, we began to play our worship song. We began to worship. She was healed. And she began to run around the room and say, I'm healed. I am healed. And she was healed. I mean, all kinds of things happened, you know. And those are the types of things I'm talking about. It will leak out. It will leak out. So what we want to do, see, is we want to come in and begin to work on being still, reach and have a desire to reach a place of stillness of soul, to encounter Jesus alone and enjoy and realize that we can enjoy his unbroken awareness of him everywhere. Desire being with Jesus. More than what he can do for you, more than what he can do through you, more than whatever the rights and privileges that come with being a son and a daughter. I mean, just being with him, those things are second and third and fourth place. I'm telling you, ministry, you're nothing compares to being with him, being intimate. And those things are going to be important in the next move of his spirit, because you won't be able to catch the wave if you don't have your sail up. You won't be able to catch the wave of his spirit, the wind of his spirit. See, having your sail up is understanding and being in intimacy with him. Those that know their God will do exploits. Know, intimacy. Know means to intimately know. To know him. And when the Lord spoke to him, he says, when Kathy is completely restored, I want you and Kathy to hit the streets. I don't want you to go to Christians. I want you to go set people free and get them healed and start to disciple them. And I said, well, why not other believers? He said, because they're already, they're like setting concrete and they will bog you down. And if they come, I want you to set boundaries for them. Tell them. You're going to protect this young flock you've got, because those young flock are going to be doing signs and wonders. He says, like you have never heard about or read about. So what we want to do is make every effort to enter into that holy rest of quietness of soul, to encounter him, to be rooted and grounded in his love, to be established in his love, to know the height, the breadth, the width, and the height of his love that surpasses knowledge, and to continue to grow. And it's like the box that unfolds and continues. Continue. Don't be settled where you are. Okay? So can I pray for us? I'll pray for us. Dios de Chile. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the invitation to come and be intimate with you, your bride. Come and be intimate with you. It's like, and the bride has to offer herself, Lord. We offer ourselves to you. Help us to be willing. Even if we want to be willing, but we don't know what the next step is, help us to be more willing. Show us how, Lord. Let that be the one biggest desire. More than healing, more than restoration. That the key is just being with you. The key to really knowing who we are is to really be just being with you. That's our identity. Our identity. With you, Jesus. And I just speak blessing over all that hear. Lord, let these words reverberate from this point on by your Spirit, bring to remembrance. Draw, Lord, draw, Lord, draw them to you. Wooing with your love into this intimate place, into this place of your love that's overwhelming, overwhelming, overwhelming. Let us be undone in your love, where everything else passes, where everything else falls off of us, any kind of anxieties or criticisms or judgments or addictions or complaints, everything else falls away. At the surpassing greatness of your love, Lord. I just pray this over all of us. Lord, let us grow in your love. To know you, Jesus, just to know you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you for that extra 8 minutes.
You are welcome. I was going to give him how long you needed.
Oh, well, I got more. What's your plan?
Hey, man, that was awesome, Robert. That was awesome. I'm not going to say a whole lot. I just want us to marinate in the Word of God today. I'm just going to reiterate some announcements because some people got on late. But if you want me to send you a copy of the message from today, let me know. Carl's already told me to send him a copy. And Christina said it was a great message, Robert. She would like a copy. And so she can watch it again. And so anybody wants a copy so you can watch it again, let me know. And I would gladly send it out to you. Kim, okay, I would gladly send it out to you. That word was for us, Robert. It was for us. It really was for us.
What Jesus said.
It was for us. The word of God was for us. It really was. And I'd like to reiterate that September the 12th, now we will be moving into our in-person location. We'll still be doing hopefully Zoom and adding Facebook and YouTube, but we will be in person. And our service time will be 10:30. And we'll be meeting at the Country Inn and Suites, 4910 Hayes Place here in Wilson at the 95 and 264 Exchange out there on Raleigh Road. So continue to be with us here on Zoom every Sunday. Worship with us then, in person or on Zoom. Love all of y'all. Love the Word of God. And I'm just going to close the day the way Holy Spirit say close. Robert, someone that said, this message cut deep. I'd like a copy. Eve, I will send you a copy. Eve is our new person online, Robert. You don't know her.
Oh, praise the Lord.
For the last few weeks.
Well, if anybody has any questions, I want somebody that's got a question not be able to ask, or that anybody can contact me directly too. If anybody ever wants to just talk about it, or if I have a question about something,
Robert, if you need to come on next week and and give us the part two of this, and then have questions and answers, that's fine. But I'm sensing in the spirit right now that we need to leave the word like you gave it to us.
Yeah.
Because we need to have time to marinate on that word and allow Holy Spirit to speak to us. Anything else might get us off track.
You're right.
You know, Pastor, so, saying.
Yes, Dolores.
I would like to talk to Robert personally.
Well, you can.
Whenever he gets the chance.
Okay, I will send Robert your telephone number, okay?
All right, thank you.
Send her mine.
Send her yours, Robert? Okay.
Yeah, send her mine too, yeah.
I will do that. Okay, we're getting ready to close, and I'm gonna pray us out today. And it's just gonna be a close. Robert's already prayed, so I'm just gonna close us out.
Yeah.
Father God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for Robert. We thank you for all you've said and done. And God, we just give you glory. We just give you praise. And we just magnify your name. And God, we just say, if there's anybody sick, we know that the word of God says that because of you, Jesus, because of the cross, we were already healed. So if we were already healed, then we are healed right now. So God, we thank you for everything in the atonement of Jesus Christ, our Savior. In Jesus' name, until we meet again, we all are blessed in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
See y'all next week, and I will send out the message to everybody that said they wanted it. It's going to take about 30 minutes for me to get it to send out, but I will send it out.
Brother Robert, it's good to hear that you and Kathy are going to hit the streets. I can remember when I first got saved, I worked with two or three different groups doing street ministry in Southwest, East Washington and Maryland or whatever. And it was just great to see what Holy Spirit did out there. How strangers, we'd knock on the door and start witnessing. They'd invite us to come in and sit down on the sofa. And then they'd begin talking about their most intimate problems and things. And Holy Spirit would just minister to them.
That's right. Amen. Let me run and help Kathy for something just a minute, and I'll come back. Now, if y'all need to, all y'all need to run, that's fine, but I'll be right back.
Pastor, I understand. Actually, I'm going to run too, okay. And do some things, but I'm excited about the country. I'm glad you and Dolores could go and had the same witness about the place that I did, but I'm excited about it.
Man, we're excited too.
And I think we're going to see some great things happen in the territory of Wilson, North Carolina that the Lord.
I believe that too. I believe that. You know, I was thinking about the location, and I thought about how I've been praying that God will send people from the surrounding towns and where we're located. All those towns I've been praying over are all around. They're to the east, west of us. They're to the east of us. They're to the north of that, and they're to the south of that. So,
amen. That exchange is a north-south exchange and an east-west exchange.
It is. It is.
Interstates.
It is. It is.
Praise God.
It is.
All right.
Well, y'all have a great rest of the day. Enjoy your Sunday. And enjoy your next week.
You want to apologize.
Love you, Miss Kim.
Love you too, dear. And I apologize for being late here. Because I found out that I was supposed to do communion. Now, I got the information. We got the information that Dolores sent. Is communion information on that too?
Yeah. Every first and third Sunday is communion. So if you got a first Sunday, that's communion. If you got a third Sunday, that's communion. And Dolores asked me to ask everybody they receive the information, and I forgot to. And I got right on my sheet to announce that too, and I didn't. So I hope everybody got it. But
okay. All right.
I sent out a text and asked everybody they have it. But if you're on first Sunday, you do it. You're on third Sunday that you do it. But once we get in our location, we do communion every Sunday. So eventually we're going to start doing communion every Sunday. Probably in October of this year, we'll start doing it every Sunday.
That's great.
Because before we did it every Sunday.
I wanted to ask y'all to be praying for us got a lot of decisions to make, and the Lord's been really gracious. You know, there's a, I mean, me, we've been so busy meeting with attorney, financial advisor. We found some financial people we're going to work with. Dan, you might have heard these people called Cap Trust. I know you're in the banking industry. Cap Trust, they got a big office in Raleigh. And we're with them. And then, you know, working with a realtor trying to find a place. And so, you know, for trying to buy a house. And so we're, I appreciate y'all praying. And because, you know, a lot of this Kathy can't go look at. I've got to, I mean, I'm real easy to please. You know me, I can live in a mobile home. I don't care. But I want something nice that Kathy would like. And I have to, you know, I'm just been depending so much on the witness of the Spirit and so many things. But I've been so busy in interviewing 4 different financial advisors and you know, real estate people and all that. But just if y'all would keep praying for us, very busy time, you know, especially over the next few weeks. Kathy's family's coming down on the 14th. And so.
The 14th of August, Robert.
What's that?
The 14th of this month.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're going to be here for a week. And Dan and Kim and Ernestine have all threatened to come, but ain't none.
I'm coming though, Robert. I'm coming. Don't worry about that. I am coming.
I know y'all are.
Once everything settled down.
Well, you know, Dan and I were talking about lobster bisque, and the other day, you know, we got a new car. The other day, last Thursday, Pastor Kent and Sheila came down, and we took them in our car, went across on the ferry, and went over to Southport. And I've been talking up this lobster bisque to Kent, you know, you know, he knows seafood stuff pretty good. And so we went over there and he got him some of that lobster bisque. He says, Robert, he said, man, I thought, well, this is just Robert just overselling. Just, it couldn't be as good as he makes it out to be. He said, man, this is incredible. This is every bit as good. He said, you can tell the half of it. So you guys got to come and try out that lobster bisque sometime, all of you.
I've never had lobster bisque. I've never had it before.
It's really good.
And you and Kathy owed me a ride on that ferry, because last time I came, we were going to ride on that ferry. It was something about it wasn't going across. We missed the time or something. So.
Oh, well, yeah. Come on. And, you know, it was funny because when Kathy, Kent was looking at Kathy, and I was too, when she took that first spoonful, because it had been 2 years since we'd had any. Mm-hmm. She got that first spoonful of lobster bisque. She went, just like.
Well, I'm looking forward to trying lobster bisque.
I mean, the expression on her face.
I'm looking forward to trying it. I sure am.
So we look forward to seeing y'all. Please be praying for us.
We will.
Well, we appreciate y'all. Sure do.
Well, y'all all have a great Sunday. And thanks again, Rob, for that great word. And do you need to finish up next week, or did you finish today?
I don't know. We'll just see.
Okay, then you let me know.
There's always going to be more, but I don't know.
Okay.
We'll just see.
Okay, then.
Be instant in season and out.
Oh, Lord, I forgot to stop the recording. I always do that. And then I don't know how to take the stuff off when we're talking. I don't know how to cut off the chat on the end.